I was working with a sports psych that said to not toe the line with outcome-oriented goals or thoughts, but to control the line with process-oriented thoughts. So like working through the warm-up like I always do, working through the process and thinking about the process and doing it the best I can and letting the outcome take care of itself. So yeah, I guess that's been my goal lately, is to just kind of surrender.
Hi, it's Marielle, and welcome back to another episode of Unexpected Curves. This week on the show, it's graduation season, which is one of my favorite times to exist on the internet. Motivational speeches flood our timelines, and a whole new generation of thinkers, doers, athletes, and creatives are stepping out into the world. The same world we spend most of the year frustrated with, one full of contradictions, disappointments, and uncertainty. But in May and June, there's something that feels fresh, like maybe things can shift. In May of 2020, Nia Atkins graduated from the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing, right into the heart of a global pandemic, a time where everything felt like it was falling apart. And still, she found a way forward. As a runner, as a musician, as someone willing to hold space for duality. In this episode, we talk about the harmony she's built between sport and music, discipline and creativity, and how honoring all the parts of herself has been key to her success. Here's Nia.
Hi, Nia. Welcome to Unexpected Curves, the sports show that's all about giving the girls some support. Every week, I like to talk with athletes like you, artists, writers, just anyone that can help us create context to what's happening in women's sports right now. And there's a lot happening. But to start off, I love to ask every guest these same three questions. It's, where are you? What are you working on? And then, who in women's sports are you watching?
Thanks so much, Mariel, for having me on this.
Fun fact, which I want to tell you before you start recording, but it's okay now. When I first got into the professional running sphere, I wrote an article for Runner's World, and they sent me an example of people that had written before, and you were one of them. And I was like, wow. First off, you're very gifted with the pen, but you were
one of the introductions to runners can be multiple things and can do multiple things. And you're still doing that now. So it's just super cool. I didn't feel like I was pigeonholed into one thing. But yeah, sorry, what are questions again?
No, that was so nice.
I wanted to say that because I was just thinking about that.
No, that's I wanted to talk to you about that today too, just being multifaceted. But we'll get into all those things.
Yeah, the question.
No, you're good. The questions were just, where are you? And then, what are you working on? And who in women's sports are you watching?
I'm in Philly. I am working on, right now, a music video and stringing together an album, still very slowly. And I'm really into women's figure skating. So I've been kind of following that. I think it's similar in the fact that it's an individual sport with kind of team elements to it. And I just like watching their faces. And it's kind of a nice combination of art and sport too. I think that's why I gravitate towards it so much. But yeah, those are three.
Okay, I love that. And as a great segue to talk about how you think about the artistry of running. And I wanted to start with how you see yourself. Is it a musician who runs, a runner who makes music, or is that binary too limiting for how you look at yourself?
Yeah, I feel when I first started with music, I kind of had an identity crisis because I saw myself as just an athlete. So at first I was just kind of what am I? Am I an athlete? Am I a musician? And I guess I just found a lot of just kind of solace and okay, I am child of God with multiple gifts, and I'm going to just sew in both of those things because they both, make me happy. And if something comes from one of them or the other or both, that's great. But kind of see myself as both musician and athlete. Don't see one as more important than the other.
And then you mentioned stringing together an album while you're also preparing for a track season. What does your creative process look like when you're juggling both of those things, and how do you create structure, if you do at all, around trying to be creative?
Yeah, I'd say because the art is new, and it also is like secondary in the sense that track is my job, and there's very specific dates on the calendar that like, okay, I need to be here this date. I would like to be here this date. I kind of work music around that as much as I can. And for the album, like my goal is to have it done and out by the beginning of this year. But then I made some like changes and sacrifices for track that pushed that back. But in a really beautiful way, it almost became this like, I started writing this another album, and like I just was like, which project do I want to put out now that I have multiple things to choose from? And I think I like the second one more than the first. I basically kind of like threw out the first album. Those like mostly done, and then we're kind of restarting the second one, and it's just like these global concepts of hope, wisdom, like faith. Like the song titles aren't super like inventive. It's just really basic, just kind of overarching concepts. And then I think we've had a lot of fun with it because the people that I've been working with, we've been working together for a while now. And I felt like the first album, we kind of weren't really sure what we were doing and what sound we were going for, but this one's like way more cohesive. So I'm really excited.
Do you know at all when we'll be able to hear some of these tracks?
Yeah, I don't know. So definitely there will be a song coming out soon with the music video, which that is new. That is such a blessing. I'm so excited to have had done a music video. We have currently we have one more scene to film, and it's in the editing. Most of the video is in the editing process now. So it should be kind of wrapped up soon. The song is already finished and stuff. So that will probably be the next thing that you guys hear, and I want them to be together. So I'm waiting patiently for the video, and then the full album, hopefully. You know, it kind of depends on travel and stuff with track, but I'd say by next year is very realistic. I'd say by the end of this year would be tough, but not impossible. So we'll see.
And then this might be like an oversimplification, but a lot of times music is thought of like a softer art form, and sport as a harder, a harder expression. Being competitive is usually like a brash character trait. You know, there's not very much subtlety about sport, I don't think. But what do you think people kind of misunderstand about the intensity or vulnerability of each art form, like running and making music, if that makes sense?
No, that makes sense. I think both are very beautifully vulnerable in very different ways. I think with running, it's vulnerable in the sense that there's so much that's out of your control and you're towing the line, just kind of like, you know, I've controlled what I can control. I've done the best that I can, but the outcome of this race isn't necessarily up to me. And I think that the kind of grit that comes with being a runner. Also, like, there are a few other sports that where you're like, when you're racing, like, you are pushed to, like, when you're finishing a race, like, you've really exhausted a lot of your body's resources. You're kind of, like, struggling at the end of a race, unlike some other sports where it's just, like, you know, you pass the ball, you rest, and it's like you give the ball to somebody else. Maybe those more team sports. With running, it is just you out there, and I think that's really vulnerable. I think with music, it's vulnerable in the sense that for me, I think for a lot of musicians, we source our inspiration from the things that we care about the most and from our own lives. So putting that out there and allowing people to have opinions about it, or, you know, letting them into your life and the things that you care about is really vulnerable too. So I think both just put you in this place where you're just like, well, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, give my best or share my heart, and the outcome of that and how people react to it wasn't necessarily up to me. But I think that's where, I don't know, for me, I think more so like the joy in doing it and like my purpose behind why I'm doing both, and less about the outcome, if that makes sense, or about what people think, I think really helps. Easier said than done. I definitely struggle with that. But yeah, they're both super vulnerable.
Yeah, I love to hear more about, well, one, like, what do you care most about? Like, what excites you still about being in the sport and still creating? What are some things that you really care about? And then how have you been able to be vulnerable? What are some of the ways that you've worked through the stage fright of putting yourself out there? It feels like you're saying that maybe you're in a place now where you're not as affected by outside opinions. And how did you get to that place?
Yeah. I think I used to put myself up in this little box for just kind of like hide myself or limit my abilities based off of what other people like think or off of just fear of man, essentially. I've like really struggled with that. And I still do sometimes. Like I have bad days with that where I just kind of let fear of failure, fear of anything pretty much like prevent me from even trying and putting myself out there, like whether that's on a track or like in music, performing or writing a song or sharing a song. And I'm growing more into just not giving fear that much power in my life and just letting faith take the driver's seat and just allowing that to find purpose in that, find purpose in my faith and find purpose in who I'm playing for, who I'm running for, and just let all of everything else kind of fade away and to just do the work joyously without fear. So that's kind of where that's where it comes from for me, is just like, honestly, just working. I think about like Michelangelo, this quote where Michelangelo was like painting the Sicilian chapel, and his body's contorted in weird ways like all day. And he's been doing this for like, probably, I don't even know how long, maybe years, but he had so much purpose in it. Cause he's like, I'm doing this for God. He had so much purpose in it. And it was just this really long project. So I find myself gravitating towards a similar mindset of like, okay, I know I'm tired. I know I'm going to have days where I don't want to do this, but like, I am like, I'm painting this beautiful story and I'm doing it for God. I'm like, I'm doing it for Jesus. So I'm just going to keep working. So yeah, I guess that's kind of for me where it comes from.
And then, you know, sometimes running, it's about, I have to get under this time. I want to make this team. Sometimes it transforms to like a bigger purpose. What are some of the things that you look to running that you really care about right now and that keeps you going?
Yeah, I mean, lately I've been like breaking a sweat over, I just want to deal with whatever circumstance comes to me in the best way possible. Like I fell at the last world championship, and like immediately afterwards, I was like, the only thing I can control is my response to this. So I'm going to still run this race to the best of my ability. And I'm not going to be upset about it, because being here was a blessing. And I'm just going to continue by my season and keep trying, because there's no patterns for this. This happened once. The next race could be the best race of my life. I don't know. It could happen again, but I'm not going to connect the dots between the two. The only thing I can control is like the way that I think about things. So that's been my goal lately, is towing the line, not like giving myself these, like not towing the line with, how do I say it? I was working with a sports site that said to not toe the line with outcome-oriented goals or thoughts, but to control the line with process-oriented thoughts. So like working through the warm-up like I always do, working through the process and thinking about the process and doing it the best I can and letting the outcome take care of itself. So yeah, I guess that's been my goal lately, is to just kind of surrender. Obviously, we want to make teams. We want to win medals and win championships and stuff, but the goal is to just be really process oriented, training in faith and hoping the outcome will take care of itself. And if it doesn't, just keep going.
Sounds like process oriented and then an observation mindset. A constant dialogue, constantly got to find new tricks for yourself, and you get smarter too. So that doesn't help.
It's good. It's like, we're never the same. I'm not the same person today that I was yesterday. I feel like there's different circumstances day to day, definitely like over the course of years. Yeah, you definitely need like new tools and evolving tools in your toolbox for like how to deal with life on the track, life off the track. So yeah.
In talking about tools, how do you think like music has helped you with that? The process of pressure, like, you know, big moments like the Olympic trials or the Olympics or championship racing. Mm-hmm. Has music been something that's helped you, or what's a tool that you've used?
Yeah, it's definitely helped at trials this past year, actually in 2024. I was learning this kind of like worship set or worship flow on the guitar. I brought my guitar with me, and I was so nervous that I just really liked the strumming pattern and just the sound of it. I was playing that for hours on end every single day. Like that was the only thing that I was doing, was just playing. And that was the first time that I'd ever done that and played that much. And it like kind of like, it's a lot on my arm. So I was kind of like a little nervous about, you know, maybe not having strength in my arm or something weird for trials, but like every single day. And even the day in the final, I was just playing for like hours in the morning. And like, I was kind of racing like this too, because I was just doing this all day, but it was like, I just found so much solace in it.
And now I'm kind of learning to that. That's a tool for me. So like, I try to bring like an instrument with me to everything, but now I'm a little bit more, I mean, the Olympic trials is a bigger, I mean, it's a bigger meet, happens once every 4 years. So maybe that's kind of where that came from, but now I'm a little bit more temperate with it. I'm not like hours and hours of just like playing the same song, but yeah, it's definitely a tool. It's like a positive distraction, I think, for me. And it's also like, I feel like, you know, when something's not going well, like on the track or like off the track, I can like write about it and put it into a song. And like, I just feel like music really elevates the feelings. Like I can just play the chords or just by themselves and know exactly what I'm feeling or know exactly where I'm at. So I think it's just another like outlet for me to express myself, which was helpful during COVID when we weren't racing. And then, yeah, in the fall, it's really helpful too when we're just kind of going through that like long training to just like, okay, I have this outlet. So yeah,
I think it's like, it's also going to be cool that you have a different, you know, it's not a training log, but it's, or a racing log, but it's going to give you like a similar feedback from your experience of just like everything that's happening. You can, you know, look back on songs or music and like really be able to pinpoint them to events and races, which, yeah, I think it's fun to have those little keepsakes that are different for everyone. What kind of music do you like moves you as an athlete? What's on your race day playlist?
There's usually one song that I will kill every race lately, since Olympic trials pretty much. But yeah, it changes. And then sometimes I'll have recordings of, you know, I'll be at like a coffee shop with an open mic or something, or at church. And then like, I really like the worship flow, usually when it's just guitar. Like I just love hearing a girl play a guitar, like just those two things together. So sometimes it's not even on like Spotify or Apple Music thing. It's just, I was somewhere and I heard somebody playing guitar and I was like, I like that. And that I will just play that over and over again. But right now, Beautiful by United Pursuit is the song that I'm currently killing. Like I will overplay songs, but yeah.
But, and then my last question is just like, what advice would you give to any younger woman, a young person who's multi-talented? What's some advice that you've had to give to yourself over the years and that you try and pass down to someone else who's just, you know, has multiple gifts and is trying to nurture each of them?
Yeah, I think the stay in your lane quote, I think that always brought me some anxiety because I always felt like I needed to make myself small in order to like fit into one lane, if that makes sense. Which, you know, sometimes like, I think there's different vehicles on the road, man. There's cars, there's trucks, like there's tractors. Like tractors need multiple lanes. Like you might be a tractor and that's okay. So I think just know who you are, like know how big you are on the road and just take up your space. Like take up your space and yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. So yeah, I guess it's okay to be a tractor.
I'm obviously going to be rooting for this weekend at Grand Slam. Only thinking about tractors. Going to have a small niche fan club and we'll all have tractor merch on.
Amazing.
So you'll know. You'll know when you see us.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for coming on the show and looking forward
Thanks
to watching
for having me.
This season. Yeah, of course.
Thanks, Muriel.